It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ashley Camrath. Talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
Well, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate. Johnny's in the house. Johnny, how you doing, boss?
Good morning.
Oh, been gone for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I walked in the room. Johnny was like caressing the mic. It was a little weird.
I missed it.
Just missed it a little bit.
I missed you. Yeah, I've been, we weren't on last weekend. And then the weekend before, I was traveling with Austin FC, went down to Nashville.
Yeah, that looked like you had a fun trip down there.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, Nashville's just an awesome, awesome.
Are they opened up like we are?
There was no sign of COVID or any kind of restraint in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's awesome.
And got to go to the game, and they played at Titan Stadium. They're building a stadium themselves, and it's not done yet.
Yeah.
And I think they may have started at the same time that we started here in town building, but we just pushed through it, and we've got our first home game here in 2 weeks on June 19th.
So, June 19th, yeah, it's coming up, isn't it?
It's going to be a fun time.
How are they doing? Are they still sucking?
No, they're okay. You got to understand, they have played nothing but road games so far. They haven't had a home game, so they've been able to get some points. That last week they played the Seattle Sounders, I think. Is that right? Seattle. Yeah. Seattle Football Club, whatever.
Yeah.
You can tell I'm not quite up yet to all my MLS teams, but Seattle was a really, really good team. And, you know, found myself cheering at the end of the game when we had a tie. And that's the first time in my life I've ever cheered for a tie, but you walk away with a point. You do get a point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the full three if you win the game, but if you tie, you get a point. So Austin FC has been able to...
See, I can't take it that you're a fan that is going to just settle for a freaking tie. Oh, I just want the point. I just need the point.
Well, but that's it. Like, it's a different kind of game. You know, again, I've never been a tie guy, but I've never played a sport really where you could walk away with a tie and feel good about yourself.
But
soccer is a different game, and I'm trying to get into it. And you know, like what Josh Wolf and his staff have done with the team, and you know, we just haven't been able to score a lot of points, right? So we're doing good defending.
We got no offense. We have no Holland. We have no Ronaldo.
Yes, exactly. Those guys.
We got no Messi.
No Messi. No
Pulisic. Ozil.
And I did see where the U.S. men's national team got away. They're a game away from, or they're in the CONCACAF championship game. So there's a lot of positive things going on.
Which one is that?
CONCACAF?
Is that the one where they play Brazil and everybody? No, or this is just the one. Like Mexico and up,
I'm gonna have to go to Google or go to DuckDuckGo
because it's hard for me to believe that they beat like Colombia, they beat, you know, Brazil, Argentina, Portugal. No, is Portugal down in South America, or am I just way off on the map?
Oh, you're way off. Portugal's
yeah,
over
Portugal's
Europe,
in Europe. That's right.
But yeah, they beat Honduras 1-0, and then I think they take on Mexico in the championship.
Is this one just like the U.S., Canada?
North America, Central America, and the Caribbean.
In the Caribbean?
Correct.
Okay, but not South America.
North America, Central America.
Central America, gotcha.
And the Caribbean.
Caribbean.
Right. So, but yeah. You know, got a young team. The U.S. men's national team is young.
Like, I'd rather watch our women's national team. I'll watch them in the World Cup before I watch an MLS game.
Sure. I think a lot of people would agree with you there. I mean, it's a really high brand of football, and our women's
team
is incredible.
I'll watch them over our men's World Cup team.
Well, you're going to get a chance to see them on June 16th when they open up Q2 Stadium.
Our women's team is?
Yeah, the U.S. Women's National Team is opening up at Austin FC. It'll be the first game ever played.
Who's the one?
Rapino?
No, not Rapino. I think Foudy, maybe.
Okay.
She had dark hair. She was on the national team. She was one of the badasses. But she, I met her at a signing. Her and her husband. She was real cool.
Gotcha.
They're shorter than you think, but they're you know, soccer bodies.
Abby Wambach?
No, it wasn't Abby.
Carly Lloyd?
Let me see the picture.
I don't have photos.
No, Lloyd's old. Yeah. This was newer. No, anyways, but besides all this boring soccer talk, Alabama's Montana Fouts throws the fifth perfect game in women's college.
Yeah, that's impressive. I saw some highlights. There's you know, and I was excited to see it, but your Longhorns took care of business.
Boy, they whipped that ass yesterday.
God, they just stomped them.
They did their thing. There's also some good games, though, in the College World Series yesterday. I mean, you know, Texas. Yep. We'll talk more about Texas and you know, what we saw in the game. I was just impressed that they came out and they weren't messing around. Like, you can't. You know, and they're focused.
Like TCU did last night?
We were
down 2-1.
But see, that's not.
To McNeese State.
What was it, bad baseball? Did you see any of that?
I saw a little bit of it. And then I had some things I had to do last night. I had a birthday party. Shout out DT. But, you know, TCU was down 2-1 to McNeese State in the seventh inning and ended up coming back and taking care of business and exploding in the eighth and ninth inning. So good to see the Frogs back. But they've got a tough regional. They got Oregon State up there. They got Dallas. DBU's good team, too. So I look at the Texas regional. You got Southern. You got Fairfield. And you got Arizona State. So
did Fairfield end up beating Arizona State?
That's a good question.
Because everyone was all like, oh, Fairfield's only lost three games. True. They're all like choked up and being a bunch of pansies.
Yeah, but I was having...
Like, who has Fairfield played? What pitcher have they played?
I don't even know. Where's Fairfield?
Virginia.
Fairfield, Virginia?
I have no idea. I guess that. It just sounded right.
I don't know. Maybe they're like, you know, like a Canadian team or something. Who knows?
Yeah. But
are you going to get a chance to go over to Dish Falk this week to watch any of that?
No.
You got to work?
I'll go next week.
Okay. To the Super Regional?
Yeah. I'll go to one after we whoop this ass this week.
Well, and I was there's a guy that I follow on Twitter, and he was kind of breaking down the regionals and mm-hmm. the percentages. He did a simulator, and for the Austin Regional, Texas had an 81% chance of advancing. 81%.
They gotta take care of business.
You're right.
Period.
But you look at TCU's, and we had a 56% chance of advancing.
Yeah. You want me to say that? Do you want me to give you some credit or something?
Yeah, we're gonna give a little bit of credit here.
Well, when you're a better team, you get the better seed. You know, I know.
But we're a nationally ranked.
No, y'all
are our national seed.
Top eight.
I think we're six. Texas is two. So
yeah, y'all are five. I knew you were top eight.
Yeah.
No, Frogs are good. They're really good. They got some bats. Mm-hmm. No, but I was. Was crazy was Tennessee last night was down 5-8. So they're down three runs, bottom of the ninth. They get bases loaded.
Stop.
Oh, boy, hits a walk-off grand slam.
Get out.
But see, like, he did the bat flip. He was, like, flexing down the first baseline, got home, like, stomped. I got it. Yeah, I mean, I would have been jacked up, too, because that's, you know, I can't hate on that.
To some extent, you are hating on it, but...
But what I'm hating on is you didn't win the regional with that.
It was the first game of the regional. Right.
Yeah, you get excited, but don't do the whole flip the bat, flex at the stands. Yeah, get excited when you get home with your team and celebrate, absolutely. But don't do the extra stuff, because now everyone's going to be kind of gunning for your ass. And
sure.
If you're the guy that hits the grand slam in this game and you don't show up the rest of the tournament...
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, baseball's so mental. And I've just seen that so many times where you see a guy get all pumped up and flex, and then people come after him. They're like, oh, you know, screw this guy.
Well, probably, I mean, he might catch a ball in the ribs here, you know, if they have to play again.
If they have to play again, he ain't going to get anything.
Yeah, he ain't going to get nothing to hit. But it looked like, was it like a fastball?
It was like a 74-mile-per-hour meet, and he just crushed it. Jeez. But, I mean, he was flexing. He got home, and they won the game. I mean, walk-off grand slam, that's awesome. I would have been pumped up, too. And you know, in the streets of Tennessee last night, if he got out of quarantine, he got laid.
Yeah, that guy was not – he had a good evening.
Yes, absolutely.
But I'm sure those guys are – not that it's quarantine, but I imagine if you're – you know, playing in a baseball regional, you're not going out and really celebrating after the game. Because they got to play today, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're not – yeah, he didn't go out celebrating, but someone snuck in.
Yeah. There's a couple of people sliding into his DMs is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. What else we got? We had the NBA basketball playoffs.
Good luck. I saw your hit. Oh, my God. It was fantastic.
Hey, remember me? We were in chemistry together.
We took sex ed together. Oh, my God. That class at Texas was the most awkward, but it was a cool class.
You took sex ed at Texas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still
hadn't figured it out yet, Case?
No, it was wild. It kind of taught you about everything.
Right.
You know, like the whole reproduction, like everything, you know, man and woman. And relationships. So you did a lot of role play. I mean, it was a huge class. There's like 150 kids in it, 200 kids.
I think I had a class at TCU that had over 100 students.
Serious? Oh, I forget you're so small.
Yeah.
I forgot you because y'all are private.
Correct. I mean, most of mine were, you know, 20, 30 people. You know, we had a pretty good ratio of teachers to students.
Well, that's where you got to meet everybody in those big classrooms.
True.
And you know our big asses, like we stick out.
Yeah.
But you don't want to sit with the whole football team because you get in trouble. So you kind of had to spread out a little bit.
Did Mac make y'all sit like front row and like pay attention and ask questions?
There's some classes like teachers thought we should, to set an example.
Okay. But it wasn't like a mandatory thing?
No, and I'm a renegade. I don't know. If I'm sitting front row, I'm not going to pay attention.
Did y'all have coaches that would come to check to make sure that you guys were in class?
Yeah, we had all that.
Okay.
Yeah. We always got
because every once in a while in some of those, you know, classes, like
400 or 500 people,
I was a speech comm major, so we had...
I mean, in the spring, you know, hey. Yeah.
Maybe not so much in the spring, but definitely
in the spring,
in the fall.
I was at the yellow for lunch till dinner.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean... You know, yeah, we always got checked on there. But like the big, if you're in a class that had four or five players, you're always getting checked on. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they hold you, and once you get older and there's only like one or two of you and you're older guys, they you know, you hold yourself accountable for that.
Correct. You're probably actually trying to finish that degree. And
yeah, I mean, your first semester, this is how it always goes. Your first semester is good because you're in football. And you don't really have time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you get on the dean's list, you know, you're like, all right, my mom and dad are proud. They're all proud.
Oh, my baby.
And then you get to that second semester.
When football's not going on.
When football's not going on and extra.
The lures of Sixth Street start creeping into your mind.
So y'all still young then. So we didn't really hit, you know, it was more the 40.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, go to some frat parties. They had those badass basketball 3-on-3 tournaments on the low hoops.
Oh, the Fiji low hoop tournament?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was so much fun. I'd go out there, like, and it would be on like Thursday nights. It would be at night. So I'd go out there, pull a cooler in with like a case of beer,
yep,
and sit in the stands and steal girls.
let all the guys worry about the basketball. You're just over there talking to the girls.
You want to play, Stud? No. Mm-mm. You ain't getting me out there. I ain't gonna
on your team was kind of like the basketball guy that would go over to the low hoop tournament and play? Because, I mean, a lot of the players back in my day.
Like Ramontz Taylor would go play, but a lot of those guys would play at Gregory Gym.
Gotcha.
They'd play at Gregory Gym pickup. I'll go play at Gregory Gym, but
Ivan Wagner? Was he?
No, Big Ivan Williams.
Oh,
running
big,
back.
Oh.
Running
oh, yeah.
back, Big Ivan.
Absolutely.
So, Big Ivan, and man, when he got mad at practice. And we had some hard some heart. I almost said it.
Almost said it.
Some bad dudes.
John over there, quick on the draw. Good morning, bud. How you doing?
We'll wake you up.
So when I got to Texas, like, there are some, you know, some real dudes on that squad. You know, right. like Ivan Williams is one of them, and he's one of those cats. Like, you saw him practice, like, man, I love the way this guy runs the ball. You know, he's as big as Jacobs was.
Yeah.
You know, the running back for the Giants. He mm-hmm. was that big. I mean, he wasn't big as Henry, but he right. was close. You know, I mean, he was outside. He was a rush in playing running back.
Sure.
But he was so cold at basketball.
But I bet
he went up one day for a dunk, boom, busted his knee.
Ooh,
senior year.
That's no bueno.
Yeah, so that kind of busted. So that kind of took the basketball away.
I would imagine, though, those low hoop Fiji tournaments was a lot of fun for the players, because I know a lot of football players and fraternity guys don't really mix well.
Yeah.
And so to be able to go out there and just dunk on them and flex on them was probably...
Well, none of us really played.
Okay.
No, like some of our walk-ons that were in the frats and stuff, they would play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we didn't...
Colin Loeffler, he was a big low hoop guy.
See, he was... I didn't...
I guess he was a little bit older than
he
you.
He was older than me, so yeah. I didn't really... that girl took one to the chin. Sorry, watching the softball girls got smoked by a pitch right to the mouth. Luckily, they had those face masks on.
Yeah.
I should have been seeing the doctor get a new smile. No, but what were we talking about? Sorry.
Just basketball, low hoops.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of us didn't really – some of the walk-ons and stuff, they would play a little bit, or, like, you know, some freshmen. Vermont State would play, like, for one game or whatever, but they would play more at Gregory Gym pickups during the spring and summer. I'll do it just for running, but I would never – I'm not going crazy. I'm going back and forth, conditioning, you know, playing defense, but I ain't –
One of my good friends was he got to UT and he was, you know, going to walk on and play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went over to Gregory Gym and, you know, kind of warming up or whatever. And he got into one of the pickup games, and Gabe Manecki, if you remember that guy's name, said he turned around, dunked on him, and just embarrassed him, whatever. He was like, as soon as he realized that that's who his competition was going to be at that level,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy my time in the fraternity system.
I'm going to head in the fraternity.
And dominate the intramural leagues, which he did. So, what else we got? We got some NBA hoops going on. You saw Clips tied up the Mavs last night, so they're forcing a game 7. Kawhi, finally.
I know, everybody. And I think, you know what? I was thinking about that this morning, and I was like, for Kawhi to kind of wake up, but Paul George ain't worth a crap.
No,
God, he does some stupid. It's like he's out there just. I don't even know. It's like his whole.
Never been a Paul George guy. I mean, I know he's a good player.
But he was good when him and Westbrook were together.
Right.
But he was okay last year. But this year, it's like what's going on with you? But Kawhi Leonard, it was like he saw that BS that LeBron's been putting out. 5 minutes left in the game. I lost all respect for LeBron James. I used to not like him because I'm a Jordan fan, but like,
I know what you're talking.
And a lot of people are like, no, you can't put, you know, Kobe in front of LeBron. But
yeah, you can.
Kobe wouldn't have quit on his team.
Kobe would have never
quit
off
on his
court.
Team. So like, so right and if, there, and if, I had them. I had them like kind of tied in my head after seeing LeBron walk out with 5 minutes left, and then get. And then be a punk on the, you know, like on the on his interview or whatever, after game whatever 6 or 7 that was, when Booker took him for like 42 points. It's like you were guarding him, LeBron.
Yeah,
like 63%, 60% of the, something like that. I can't remember what the statistic is.
But I'll tell you this: if Kobe would have seen one of his guys walk off the court with 5 minutes, he would have gone into the locker room, grabbed him by the shorts, and thrown him back out into the court.
Period.
I mean, that was period. That is what Sep. I mean, don't get me wrong. LeBron will always and is right. I mean, LeBron is the face of the NBA. Whether you like him or not, he yeah. is the guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and you look at his career. I mean, LeBron James has played 260 some odd playoff games yeah. in his career. I mean, yeah. that's 3 years worth of mm-hmm. a 3 year season just in the playoffs. I mean, yeah. he's played more playoff games than some of these guys have played games.
Yeah, we know it's so funny with LeBron is that, you know, he always gives people, he's like, I'm like, you're the one that started the Big Three stuff.
Correct.
You're the one that started Super Team. But so with that whole, Kobe's my number two all time. The whole quitting on a team, I hate that. That's so disrespectful. I would have whooped his ass in the locker room.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Well, and it's the same stuff that the Pistons did back in the day.
Yeah,
when they walked off the court.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it turned out really bad for Isaiah because that probably cost Isaiah a shot at the Dream Team. Right?
Yeah, no, it did.
And if you watched any of The Last Dance, which I've rewatched like multiple times now, I think it's the greatest document or movie ever. Like it is watching.
No,
that,
it's great.
Absolutely incredible. But all those guys just walked off the court, and the game was. I mean, there was a couple. I mean, it wasn't like 5 minutes left to go, like LeBron pulled the other night. But it was at the end of the game, end of the series.
Oh yeah, they just walked off.
Now I get it. Like if it's game two, game three, whatever, you know, like you're not shaking hands anyways. So, but at the end of a series, to not show the respect that the Bulls had done, because the Bulls kept getting beat by the Pistons. Right?
Oh yeah,
and after those series,
see, LeBron couldn't have played back in the day. You know how, like, could you imagine if LeBron was coming down the middle? How bad they would hammer him?
Bill Laimbeer would have taken a forearm to his face, right?
Oh yeah,
Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, those guys, Oakley. I mean, those guys would have just beat him up.
Bad.
But, I mean, LeBron is, you know.
He's a big guy, but I'm just saying.
LeBron's a top five guy.
He wouldn't be able to play. He would be a lot more beat up right now where I don't think he would have had this long of a career.
True.
At the level he's been playing.
True, because what is LeBron like, 35, 36, somewhere in there?
He's the same age as me, 37.
Okay. So yeah, I mean LeBron. I mean LeBron's getting up there. He doesn't have that much left in the tank.
I mean,
is he going to try and pull? I mean, is he going to be like Brady, try to play into his 40s? I mean,
he wants to play with his son. That's what I hear.
Ah, gotcha. Well, how many more years? I mean, how old? I mean, he's got his son's probably what in high school now. Gotta be.
Yeah, he's in high school.
I mean, he's got a couple kids.
Yeah,
but I mean,
I don't know if his son is good enough to go straight to the league, though. Well, he can't do that. He has to go to college.
Or go to Europe. Or go to the G League, because you can do that now. And we'll pick this right back up. We got to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. Little good morning, Austin, Texas. Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate. It's your boy Johnny Rogers here live with Casey Studdard.
What's going on, everybody?
On a looks like a rainy, shockingly rainy day here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
God, when's the last day it didn't rain? Like April?
This whole month of May, every week it rains.
Jesus.
Yeah.
We need a break. We need to be able to get out on the lakes.
Absolutely.
Came back in with a little Grand Funk Railroad, for those that are familiar, who were pretty big back in 1965. John had a good stat. What was the stat you were telling us about? They sold out Shea Stadium faster than the Beatles?
That's right, yeah. In this day in 1971, they sold out 55,000 tickets in 72 hours. This beat the previously held record that the Beatles held in 1965.
Okay.
And this record would not be broken even until when the stadium itself was demolished in 2008.
Wow. So, think about this, Casey.
I don't even know who the hell they are.
In 1971, I mean, it's not like they were going to Ticketmaster and getting online to buy tickets. I mean, you probably had to physically go to the stadium and buy tickets. I mean, could you call in?
That I'm not even sure of. They had to at least go to the physical box office to go get
them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there were multiple box offices so they could, you know, cycle, you know, maybe four or five different ones. But, damn, that's impressive.
55,000 tickets in 72 hours.
Would you say Grand Funk Railroad had, were they like a long tenured band? I mean, I know that song. American band, but like I'm not as familiar with them as, say, the Beatles.
By that point, they had solidified themselves as a really like round, like, you know, of rock blues.
Gotcha.
You know, some kind of
like
wonderful that song as well. And they had a whole bunch of other hits. So they had already solidified themselves at this point, but this is when they were like in their stride.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I'm a CCR guy. little Credence.
Yeah.
What was this texter talking about?
Oh, we had a couple of texters texting. We had one that said, y'all are crazy, and Jordan doesn't shoot well enough to be as dominant in today's game. I mean, without everybody, with all the fouls and everything, he's gonna get his points. He probably scores more points. He's probably up there with Malone, just thinking about all his 15-footers, elbow shots, you know, getting open, not getting hammered on the way down through the lane. You know, how many free throws Jordan had to take because they would just take him out, you know? So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with your statement on shoot well enough in today's, you know, game, you know, dominant game today, how dominant it is in today's game. But I do agree that
it was a different era. I mean, Jordan was a scorer, I believe, more than he was a shooter. Right? Like, yeah. He could figure out a way to score points. And if he needed to take the game over, he could against anybody. And yeah. LeBron's the same way. I mean, LeBron's, you know, pretty dominant player when he wanted to be. But now we're at the twilight of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's probably got five years left in the tank, maybe. But LeBron's a billionaire now.
Yeah.
It was just announced a couple weeks ago that he's a three comma guy. And he's probably made, you know, $200-300 million just in sports. So you got to imagine
endorsements.
And investments. He's now part of the Fenway Sports Group. Yeah. I mean, he's been him and Mav Carter have really done a good job of turning LeBron the player into LeBron the icon, the businessman, and all that. So, you know, I'm not gonna hate on LeBron all day. I mean, he's a great player, but you're talking about Casey when he walked off the court. I lost a lot of respect.
A lot of respect
because you ain't never seen Michael Jordan do that. You never see Kobe Bryant do that.
No, I just kind of grinded my gears a little bit. Did you end up watching did you watch the Texas baseball game yesterday? Did you happen to see it?
No, I didn't. I didn't get a chance. I was working. I was showing some property. And didn't get a chance to sit down and watch it, but it looked like, you know, I went and had, you know, drinks with some friends after, you know, happy hour ish, and all my Texas friends just had the biggest smiles on their face.
Yeah,
Floyd, Chris Rasier, all those guys. Just I walked right in, and they just ear to ear. And this was when, you know, TCU was down 2-1 to McNeese State, and they're like, Johnny, what's happening with TCU right now? I'm like, all right, guys, I get it. You know, you guys were dominant, but I mean, who were you dominant against? Texas, Fairfield, Southern. Who'd they play yesterday? Yeah, they played Southern yesterday, and then today they play Arizona State. So it'll be you know, fun to watch if they play, if this rain can keep off. You know, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the rain's going to be away. I'm trying to see what. What time do they play today?
They got the later game. So they'll play at, they play at 8 p.m. Or is that, I don't know, I don't know if that, what time zone that is. I'm looking to hear at the College World Series, the NCAA.com. So the early game, you've got Fairfield versus Southern, and then you got Texas versus Arizona State in the second game.
Okay.
And then the Frogs play DBU tonight at 7 p.m. That'll be a good game.
DBU? Who's that?
Dallas Baptist.
Dallas Baptist.
Dallas Baptist always has...
Don't talk up your little... You're just sitting there, who did Texas play? Don't go talk up Dallas Baptist. They ain't worth a crap either. I don't want to hear it. Dallas Baptist ain't worth it.
Yeah, they are. They had a 37-15 record this year.
Okay, well, what about the team 40, that got... What 40, about the team that ASU beat last night? 33-5 or something, 33-4 or something like that.
37-3.
Yeah. That's way better than the record you're talking about. So kiss my ass. Kiss my ass. I don't want to hear it.
All right. You guys in your Southern and Fairfield and Arizona State's not bad. They were ranked. They had the 40th RPI in the country. So
they're always. I mean, they've won championships. You know what I mean. So they're not as of late, but you know what I mean. They're a usual powerhouse. Arizona State usually has a pretty good baseball team.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, I don't know if any time recently, but when I hear college baseball, their name kind of pops up in my head for some reason.
Did you see where Coach K retired this week?
Yeah, Mike Krzyzewski, right?
And brought in John Shire is going to be the new head coach. You know, that's you don't see it a lot where the head guy gets to anoint and pick the next guy up. But that was there is a ton of Duke, you know, underlings of Coach K who are really good basketball coaches now. Yeah. So I'm wondering what it is about John that was so special that he got basically picked. I don't know what the deal was, but if you look back at Duke basketball, when you think Duke basketball, who do you think of?
Coach K.
Okay, I'm talking about player wise.
I
mean, are you a Christian Laettner guy? Are you a Grant Hill guy?
So that see, but me when I first
Kyrie?
No, when I hear Duke, I think of JJ Redick, because that was kind of when I
okay.
That's you know he was
that's your era.
That was my era. Like yeah, Laettner and Grant Hill when I was a young kid. But
Cherokee Parks.
But when it was JJ Redick just shooting three balls, just crushing people
yeah.
for those 4 years. That's the one I was like, I used to hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a documentary about it, but it was called Everyone Hates Christian Laettner.
Yeah,
I saw it. And I remember, I mean, I was part of that crowd. I gained some respect for Laettner, you know, later in life. He was a good player. What shocks me still to this date is that Christian Laettner was on the Dream Team.
Yeah.
Because he was the National Basketball mm-hmm. Player of the Year, and they picked Christian Laettner over Shaquille O'Neal for that spot.
I know. It's wild.
Could you imagine if Shaq would have been on the Dream? That's what should have happened. But I think Christian Laettner basically was like the towel guy.
Oh yeah, they wouldn't even. He didn't even practice really.
They wouldn't even let him on the court.
Yeah,
and
There's nothing he could do. They said there's nothing he could do in this.
Nothing he could add.
That's what Jordan said
to the mix.
There's nothing that he could have done.
Correct.
Yeah, that's funny. speaking of tickets, when Johnny's dad was at Texas, you could go to HEB or Randall's to get Texas football tickets for $5.
The good old days.
Yep.
The Makovic years.
Also,
all we did was win conference championships. That's all he did when he was there.
Also, CB posted earlier said June 5th, 1993, Brooks Kieschnick throws 172 pitches and strikes out 11 to help Texas beat Oklahoma State 6-5 in the College World Series. I love Brooks.
Dude, that guy.
Me and Brooks have had a lot of long nights talking.
You guys had a couple Twisted X beers in your lifetime?
Nope. No. Can't say that I have had a Twisted X with Brooks.
Okay.
We've had what did we usually drink?
We were drinking like Red Dog back then?
No, we would drink beer, but then, you know, a lot of the times when me and him first started like hanging out was, or just, you know, talking or whatever, was in like the Reckless Kelly celebrity softball game.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And, you know, some of those guys, you know, with, you know, you got Mickey and the Motor Cars and
yeah.
Wade Bone, all those guys are out there. And, you know, a lot of the, like, they got Flask in the dugout, you know, so it's a lot of that type of stuff going on. Vodka and Gatorades, you know.
Ooh, glowworms.
Yeah. We call those Scooby Snacks.
The vodka Gatorades?
Yeah.
We call them glowworms.
We call them Scooby Snacks.
We drink on the golf
high
course.
School.
That's what we call it.
Yeah, we call that in high school. But now he's calling
so vodka. Kieschnick was, he was kind of one of those guys that he
like a Babe Ruth?
Yeah, he was a pitcher and obviously throwing 100 miles an hour, but he could also crush.
Yeah.
On the bat. I mean, he was hitting dingers.
All the time.
Going deep.
Yeah, Brooks is a bad dude.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't. If you don't really know, you have to go. You have to kind of like look back and
do your history a little bit.
Do your history with Brooks. You're like, damn, that was a bad dude. You know, like he was like the number one. He was like the number one prospect or something like that. I think. I don't know. Was he number one pick? I can't remember all that. But anyways, yeah. If any of y'all are hockey fans, my Avs lost to the Vegas Golden Knights last night. But Colorado still leads series 2-1. And the rest of the games don't really matter. But going back to Kawhi Leonard real quick, last night with his performance, you know, over Dallas, you know, I think, you know, he's the type of guy. He has no help, but I think he saw that LeBron stuff too, and he was kind of like, "All right, I got an opportunity."
Yeah, here.
Lakers are out already. You know, let me force this game 7, try to win this. You know what I mean? And if he can go off again for 40 something, you know,
Luka. Now that kid,
he has no help either.
He doesn't have much help, but if that, I mean, that guy is, I mean, he's the future of the league right there.
Yeah,
and Booker.
I mean,
there are some young guys that are really coming on strong, starting to prove themselves not only in the regular season but in the playoffs. But if you didn't see what Dame Lillard did the other night,
like how are they not trying to put him on a big three? Like,
well, and that's the biggest discussion right now. I think Portland just fired their coach
because he's like, how do you not give him help yet?
Correct.
This dude's scoring 40 a game
and. He was throwing up shots, banking three-pointers. He took over. Like, I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm looking at Twitter. I love that. I love during a, you know, late-night game and watching everybody's reaction. Every single, like, sports talk, every single professional athlete is just sitting there like, Dame time. Went into God mode. Like, that was as impressive of a basketball performance as I've ever seen. I mean, that's up there with the Michael Jordan,
yeah.
You know, in Portland when he was draining threes, when he was, you know, took the Celtics for 52 back in the day. I mean, that game right there showed you that Dame Lillard is one of the top players, probably the most, one of the most exciting players in the league. But he needs some help. I saw a report, you know, they did fire their coach. He wants Jason Kidd to be the next guy. So if Portland plans on keeping Dame, they're going to have to basically do what he wants.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, he's going to bounce.
Yeah, he's gone.
And then who knows where he goes. But maybe Dame, I mean, I'd say the Lakers could trade for him, but the Lakers don't have anything. I mean, other than LeBron and Anthony Davis, who else?
Yeah.
Kuzma? That ain't happening. So...
Wow, did you see this? Former NFL wide receiver Chris Hogan makes 25-man roster for Cannon LC, a premier lacrosse team.
He's the guy. He was in a couple of those Hard Knocks. Hogan was. I think they called him 24-7. Or you should call him Circle K or something like that because he was always open.
Yeah, he had 63 against the Clippers, or against the Celtics.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's little. What's his name? Dame Lillard?
Dame Lillard.
Yeah, he 63 against the Celtics. That's Jordan Kobe-ish numbers right there.
Oh, we got another name for the Gatorade and vodka.
Faderade.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, getting back into... You know, a little bit of Texas baseball before we go on a break here. You know, I think the one thing that I liked about the game, you know, I don't get into all the, you know, everyone's talking about they should have pulled their pitcher just in case they need him for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I understand that. But, they came out, they're dominant, but there were a lot of errors, they said.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, dumb stuff, you know what I mean? Dumb little stuff. So I think with the dominant win, they got that little jitter out of their belt, and now they can really sit down and focus.
This is playoffs. This is win or go home. And they don't want to go out like LeBron. LeBron right now is sipping pina coladas on the beach somewhere. He done.
All right, he gone.
And the Longhorns are ready to continue to play some baseball.
Yeah.
So they better be ready to play against Arizona State today. And again, that's the later game, not the early game. So it was I had some friends also that went to the Texas game, and they said it wasn't a real, you know, crazy atmosphere or anything like that. I mean, I would have expected possibly, you know, occupy left field to really get it going and dialed in for this weekend, but maybe they're just holding off till Saturday. Maybe tonight's the night that they really start letting it loose. Have you gone out there to occupy left field?
I haven't yet. You see, I still have never gone over there and party with the left field guys. I need to go out there. Justin Simmons and all the guys always tell me, go out there. They'll welcome your ass.
Well, like, hey, let's do it next weekend.
I work on the weekends. If they got a Thursday game next week, I'll go.
Okay.
But
I'll take you out there.
Congrats to the our women's rowing team, national champs.
There you go. There you go, rowing team.
First time ever in the history. You know, rowing's really, you know, that's more of a Michigan, you know, up there type. That's the sports
Northeast,
up there.
Northeast, Harvard, Yale.
All that, yeah. Oh. And Longhorns went out there and spanked that ass. So congrats to those women. It's awesome. I can't wait
and
to see them.
I'll see them. They're on Town Lake.
Bird, yeah, all the time.
So if I can get up early enough and get out there, you know, do my, you know, 2.5, 3.5 mile walk.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see him out
keyword there. Walk.
Yeah, I'm not quite running yet. I'm working my way up there.
I am breaking a sweat though. I'm walking that fast.
Well, it's not hard to break a sweat when it's muggy like it is. And you know, I was in the elevator in my building the other day, and somebody was like, "Can you believe how cool it is like right now?" And I'm like, "Well, it's raining." You know, like I get that, but I was like, "Don't you worry." When July or late June comes around, you're going to be wishing it was raining because it is going to be so hot. But I want the rain to stop so we can get back out on the lakes. I'm ready to get back out to Horseshoe Bay, you know, cruise around, get on a pontoon boat, sip on some Twisted X, maybe some Faderade, really try to get things going.
Yep. We got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll get back a little more Texas talk. We had a Texan asking the big question is, will Madden be Madden?
Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate. Good morning, Austin. You're listening to Johnny Rogers, Casey Stetter live in the studio. Ashley has the weekend off. She's out there doing wonderful things for the U.S. military and sports systems and all that. She had a big week over Memorial Day weekend. Did the carry the load walk. Proud of her and what she does and her involvement with the United States military and all their stuff.
Absolutely. Hold on. My headphones are all.
There you go. Right. Now you're back. Case, what do we got going on at Whitfield's today?
Crawfish season's over with. So, you know, we just got a full menu of meat. We got plenty of brisket. We got 12 briskets on today. Got a bunch of pulled pork. Briskets are just expensive right now. It's wild. Meat in general's expensive as hell. Shoot, St. Louis ribs, to buy St. Louis ribs is like $5 a pound.
For y'all?
Yeah, that's Ooh. Really high. Well, what it is, it's, you know, that same group that hacked the pipeline,
mm-hmm.
they hacked that Australian meat company. And this Australian meat company is like one-third supplier to the U.S.
Jesus.
They're the biggest out-of-country supplier of meat to the U.S.
Okay.
This is a company out of Australia. And what this Russian bastards are doing are the same thing they did with the pipeline what they did with the meat company was they basically go in there. They have some, you know, algorithm, these hackers, and they get all the information. You know, it's an old, and what it is, they attacked these older companies like the
who aren't secure websites and
all that kind of stuff. So this packing plant in Australia, it's like an older company. It's been around for a long ass time. So, you know, they went in there, held everything, held them ransom for like, you know, $300,000-$400,000 and got their money and bounced. So, and that's only way they'll release everything out. You know, right. And they're losing that much money every day, so you have to pay it. And Biden's too big of a punk to do anything with the Russians. I don't want to get into Biden today. But so that's what's going on. You know, that's affecting it. And then you get to all these different companies where they can't get the meat. They can't get enough meat in because there's not enough people working at the plants to pack to butchers to butcher the cows and pack meat and all that kind of stuff. So there's plenty of cows at the you know,
grazing.
There's plenty of cows. That's not the problem. It's just that they don't have.
You're saying it's not necessarily a supply issue. It's more of a chain of
supply. It's supply. I mean, it's just the packers. They don't have enough manpower to get enough out. Gotcha. So you see people like U.S. Foods where they're taking a hit right now because they can't get that allowment. Like Cisco's big enough that they're getting their allowment.
Right.
Costco's big enough they're getting their allowment. HEB's getting their allowment.
So they're taking care of the guys at the top. That's those middle guys.
You have to.
Okay.
But, I mean, you're not getting everything. I mean, and it's not just that. You know, you got to think about your paper products and all that kind of stuff coming from China and all over there. That stuff takes forever to get here. We can't get any of that. So, but, yeah, that's the big thing. And the other thing is drivers. Nobody, 18-wheeler drivers. And that's happening at Brown Distributing. That's happening at all the major beer companies.
Well, I mean, are they just sitting at home?
What happens is a lot of people quit, and the drivers they have, they work them too damn hard, I feel like. Or they had to double their trucks up, give them bigger trucks, you know, because they had to get this meat out, and they're losing drivers, and it's what nobody wants to work.
Sounds like there's issues going on all over the place. We've got, even still in Austin, this real estate market is in fuego. We still have a very severe lack of homes. There's not enough homes being built. The city's trying to do what they can to, you know, create a little bit more affordability, but the leadership up top there, I don't trust. They haven't done anything. We got a city council that still hasn't even met. They're trying not to be. We had legislatures that all got together and got stuff done, but we don't have a city council that's doing my. I will get off politics, but yeah. I digress.
Yeah, no, I
don't get me on there. Real quick, they did do. I was very disappointed. The first time I've ever really been disappointed in listening to Joe Rogan, because he invited Steve Adler on and they did an hour podcast.
Uh oh,
and you know, it was the biggest. Just
lie?
No, it wasn't a lie, but he didn't ask any hard questions.
Why did he not? Because he's new to the city. Well, he's trying to get in his ass.
Probably. He probably needed something done for him, so it was probably a little tit for tat something like that.
But he didn't get into the real deep.
He mentioned they spent 15 seconds on Cabo when Adler went off and did that. But
I thought that was Cruz.
No, that was Cruz went off too.
Oh.
But Steve Adler was telling everybody to stay at home and don't go anywhere.
That's right.
And he's doing the live deal from Mexico.
You're right. I do remember that.
At his daughter's wedding. And then he went down there. The wedding was in Austin, and then he went with his daughter down on their honeymoon, which is kind of weird and creepy to me, but
really creepy.
But yeah, the interview with Rogan, I mean, Rogan didn't ask any hard questions. You know, he didn't challenge Steve Adler in the slightest, and it was just disappointing for me because Rogan's usually pretty good. I wish he would have talked to somebody else, you know, about the opposite side or the people that don't agree with Adler. You know, they spent time on the homeless and situation and Austinites experiencing homelessness, but didn't really dive like into the, what are you doing though, Steve? What are you doing to solve this problem? He's not doing it. And then Steve Adler, who's never once even gone out to talk to the folks at Community First Village to try and help, you know, because those guys are actually providing solutions. He had the balls to drop Alan Graham's name and talk about him for a second when he doesn't even do anything to support those guys.
Yeah, Adler's a punk.
Beat it, nerd.
Adler's a punk.
You remember when we booed him at the tailgate, the LSU tailgate? He tried to show up.
Yeah, we're like, well, you're not invited.
Boo!
Come to this tailgate.
That was probably my all-time favorite moment at a Texas tailgate is when we booed Adler out of there.
Yeah. I was like, what are you doing at my tailgate? Get your ass out of here.
All right. Off politics.
All right. Sorry about that. Okay.
I digress.
NFL football. Is Aaron Rodgers going to stay with the Packers? Probably not. He's a punk. Ben Roethlisberger. I think he should retire. I don't know. It's like he's good for 5 games. It's like if you could just have him at the end, like from week 16 on, you'd be great.
Yeah.
You know, but he's just too beat up. He's a big guy.
He might be like a LeBron and Anthony Davis that maybe you're not playing every game, right?